Hey everybody, it's Sam Bennett. Thank you so much for joining me for the True Freedom Symposium, the when, what, why, and how to quit your day job, and what's really on the other side. This interview is with my dear friend, the extraordinary Melissa Seaman. Melissa was a Stanford-educated business lawyer until her superpowers awakened in the year 2000 with the birth of her daughter. Now, she bridges the worlds of business strategy and intuitive intelligence as an intuitive business strategist. Fortune 500 executives, creative tech founders, and thought leaders hire her to clarify their deepest purpose and their perfect fit business so they can do what their souls came here to do, to become genius incarnate. Enjoy the genius of Melissa Seaman.
Hi, everybody. Sam Bennett with the Organized Artist Company and Melissa Seaman with Your Soul Gift.
Hi, hello.
Melissa. I've been like up and excited all morning. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I get to talk to Melissa. So I'm sure I will have done some kind of intro where I've said all the cool things about you. And so the people have a little context about, you know, where you came from. But I'd love to hear your version of the story about how you got from where you were to where you are.
Okay, yeah. Because I had a big uncovering, yeah. Right? A big accidental, exciting, humiliating, scary, disruptive, bizarro, empowering, inspiring unveiling. So let me tell you about that. So I'm a Stanford educated lawyer, really. I like went to Stanford. I went to law school. I did the whole thing. I practiced business law. I worked with mostly business owners, physical therapy firms and other lawyers and all kinds of stuff. And I was working mostly as a transactional lawyer when I gave birth to my second child, my daughter, Claire Reese, who she still claims that she's fully responsible for what I'm about to describe to you. After that birth of that child, which just happened to be this like really easy, pain-free, very pleasurable birth, which I didn't believe was possible. After that, I was potently, deeply, accidentally psychic. Now, what the hell does that mean? And at the time, I was like, what the hell does this mean? Because honestly, I didn't believe in any of that stuff. I was a practicing Catholic. I was like a liturgist in my church. I've always been faith-filled and inspired and creative and all those sort of things. But what I suddenly was hearing spirit. I was having experiences I couldn't explain. I was knowing things that I shouldn't have known about other people, about what was going to happen next, about what was happening on the other side of the world, all kinds of knowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like go and make some friends who identified themselves as shamanic or psychic, or just so that I could get some support. Like what really? And I still sometimes am like, really, this stuff is true. So for the next 7 years or so, I really dove into that whole world. I lived in the forest with a bunch of hippies, and I became a long distance healer. I became an intuitive reader type person.
Let me just pause for just one sec.
Pause it, baby.
So what? So you're having this successful life in San Diego as a lawyer. You're working mm-hmm. with other business owners, and you were doing theater mm-hmm. too, right? You were doing improv, right?
Yes, yes. I had an improv theater at the time. So
you were creatively fulfilled. It's not like you were locked in a box somewhere.
No, I thought I had everything I ever wanted. I had the big house and the cars and the husband and the kids and all the things. And my theater, I mean, it was so fun. I was having a great, great life. So no, I wasn't looking for this up-leveling.
And then all of a sudden your brain cracks open and you start knowing things that you yes. didn't know you knew. And that's I have correct. To say in my experience, limited experience of what psychic or channeling or intuitive or whatever you want to call it is,
right?
that's what it feels. It does. It feels like knowing. It feels like, well,
yeah, it's just like dirt. It's
doesn't
not
everybody
like,
know this?
Is this true? It's like, boom. It's like, ta-da. Even so, remember, I'm a lawyer. So I was like, okay, this feels like knowing, but it could be that I'm just psychotic. It could be that I've had some kind of a psychotic break. It could be that I'm just making this up. And so I kept testing everything. You know, obviously, I would feel something about a certain person. I'd check in with them and then they'd cry, how did you know? And I'd be like, oh, shoot. I think this stuff might be real. I do long distance clearings. I did long distance clearings for people all over the world. And I think most of that was just to keep proving to myself that this stuff was real. And it just kept being proven. I just kept upping my rates thinking, well, yeah, but are they going to pay me $300 for this? Yeah, they will. Why? Because it's working and they'll come back and do it again. I was just like, I can't believe this stuff is. So it was a big switcheroo. It was a big shock.
Then you just were like, I just can't be a lawyer anymore. I just can't do this.
My brain didn't even work that way anymore. It started really, it shifted pretty fast. I couldn't. Yeah. And I can really relate with the stroke of insight lady. You know, the lady who was this neuroscientist and then she had a stroke and she like watched her left brain shut down and her right brain light up. That was kind of how it was for me. I was like, oh, I just literally can't do the super analytical work anymore. Now, what's interesting is that was true for me for a while. And I just went super into the woo, what I would call the woo. And it was pretty fabulous. There's a lot of healing there. There's a lot of opening of the mind. There's a lot of deep purpose and connection with what I consider divine will, with what I consider my true genius, you know, getting underneath the layers of all my training and really tapping what is intrinsically my gift, which is now, of course, what I help people do with the soul gift quiz and all the other stuff I do. But it wasn't an easy transition. It was rocky because all the people that I had known in my church and people who had known me as lawyer were like, who are you? What's going on with you? And while some of my best, closest friends stayed with me, of course, through the whole transition, because I'm still just me, my social structure and my values and my community really did shift by necessity. It was a very strong change. And of course, it required that I also change the way I do business, right? Because it wasn't right for me anymore to be litigating or writing partnership agreements for businesses. I was talking to their spirit guides for crying out loud. It was too.
So different. I have a question about this transitioning your group of people, because I think that's a big concern for people who are thinking about starting out on their own. Like, am I going to lose all my friends? Are people going to think I'm crazy? Am I going to lose all my credibility? Who will I talk to all day?
Right.
And I know you help people often make this transition from one life to another, or one career to another, or from corporate to entrepreneurship. Do you have any words of wisdom for people who are concerned about like, oh wait, but I want to bring everybody with me?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, the people that don't go with you are pretty much the people that you don't mind. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, the people that you really hope most to impress and be connected to are actually going to love the integration of your worlds. They're going to love it. And number three, the thing that you think is the weirdest, freakiest, bizarroest thing about you, especially if you're like an accidental psychic like I was, everybody really relates to it. They don't talk about it all the time. But I challenge you to find even one person who has never had an unexplainable experience, a mystical, unexplainable experience of some kind. They all have. And people come to me all the time. And, you know, I work with Fortune 100 execs. I work with Silicon Valley tech. I work with mompreneurs. Like, I work with a lot of different kind of people. And the through line is they come to me and go, you know, actually, I've also had some visions, or, you know, I've had my dead grandma come to me in my dreams for like the past, you know, 10 years, you know, right. I had an experience with a house that felt kind of, well, haunted, and I never told anybody. And it's always, I never told anybody. And that has been one of my big, like, oh my gosh, you know, we are all swimming in this soup and nobody's talking about the soup. They're like, what soup? You know?
And even more, how can we use the soup? How can we
leverage the frickin' soup?
Because leverage the soup.
The other thing that happens is people, that's the other thing that happens is people somehow make the soup like this woo-woo weird thing that can only happen, you know, on Sundays in a box. And And then we tried to ignore the soup. And it's like, you guys, why? Or we get really distracted by the soup and it's all about soup and soup is the only thing that matters. It's like, no, you still have to feed the cats and bathe your children and show up for work. So that's like my passion, as you can tell, is integrating and leveraging both worlds. Like
the and it's one of the things I love most about you is that you are so, you know, in tune and so aware and so wise, but also very grounded and very real and very like, okay, how does this, you know, change your bottom line? Like, how do we move forward on this in a way that makes sense with your life?
You know? Yeah.
The other thing that I think is interesting about what you're saying is, and I've had this experience too, that when you are living a life that feels kind of split, you know, where you feel like, oh, I'm kind of one person at work and it's not my whole self. I'm not able to show up as my whole self in this environment. That's really exhausting.
It's exhausting. It's so exhausting.
And showing up as your full self, when you actually do this integration work, when you finally say, okay, guess what? I'm psychic. Sorry. You know, let's work on it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start to show up fully integrated, you do lose some people along the way, but like you say, they're mostly the people you don't miss that much to begin with. Yeah. And everyone else is so relieved to see you showing up as your whole self.
Yes.
A lot of things get easier and you have a lot more energy.
Yeah. And I would say all of this is true if you really want to be a leader. And I also acknowledge there's some people don't want to be a leader. They want to hide but they want to integrate or disappear into the woodwork kind of and just work within a system. And I would say if you're a person who just really wants to not be visible and work within a system, then you also don't have to go be your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a choice. Like everybody who's going to watch this knows there's a choice there. And the truth is like pulling yourself into your own center and clarifying what are your own gifts and consciously centering your life around what you're really here to do. It has huge, huge benefits. Like deep fulfillment where you finally know that you're working in your purpose, that you're really here doing what you're here to do. And this sense of connection with this support, this, you know, intrinsic support in yourself and this extrinsic support of the heavens and then the extrinsic support of your community. There's huge benefits and there's huge challenges. Like nobody here is going to lie to you and be like, oh, it's easy peasy, you know, to go from being whatever you are right now to whatever your highest potential is. There's like, that's a journey. And that's why you have people who help you along that journey, who've been there like me, like Sam, like everybody else who's here to support you. Like it's a shindig, you know, the transition is a little bit of a process.
Right. Right. Yes, it is. And it's a tremendous path of spiritual growth. I mean,
oh yeah. All the growths, all whatever. The growths,
all the growths,
all the growing, you know, you got the spiritual growth, you got the money, because this is also about money.
Yeah, let's talk about money. Let's talk about some of this practical stuff. So there's the sort of spiritual transition. There's the social transition of like, hey, guess what, guys?
Yes.
I'm not going to be this person anymore. But there's very real financial considerations. Mm-hmm. What did you learn, or what good advice did you get, or what advice do you have?
It's like one of my favorite things. It's all about value. Money. Mm. So in my mind, money is just a measure and sort of an instrument, a currency of value in our culture. And when you identify what is truly the most valuable about you as an offering in the world, what's valuable about what you got here to other people? What's valuable about this business you've created or that you're about to create to the world? Wow, like now you are really challenging yourself to go on this inner journey of how's it easy for me to be valuable? Like if you asked me to build you a car, I would not be very valuable in that. I would have no idea and I would cry probably and I would throw the wrenches. It would be like a total tantrum. But if you ask me to tune in and identify what your deepest gifts are, that's super easy for me. So well, that's pretty valuable too. So everybody has their own valuable thing.
So this is, I think, is an important distinction that in some ways, for people who are like, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what I would do if I weren't being told what to do. You know, Right. There isn't anything. Like, well, what's super easy for you?
Yes.
What do you do so easily and so naturally, you don't even really think it's a thing?
What do your friends show up and ask you to do for them all the time? Now, this is for a personal services business. There's lots of different kinds of businesses. Some people, like creators on my Soul Gift Quiz, which I think you're a creator secondary, maybe you're a messenger transmitter. But anyways, I love this stuff. But the creators are systems people. And so their deepest gift is to create a business, a system to solve some kind of problem or to deliver some kind of good thing. Right. So, but for like a transmitter, for someone who's an energetic kind of being, who's very charismatic and all that kind of thing, they usually will do best with a personal services type of business. So they become a teacher, they become a healer, they become, you know, whatever, you know, or a researcher on the Soul Gift Quiz. Those are usually the people who can track details and analytics, and they'll often end up being an engineer or some kind of a techie person who can track the details. And that is highly valuable. And guess what? They do it automatically. They do it all day long. They can't not do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, identifying, you know, what type of gift you really have to give the world opens the door for you to understanding what can you give that's of value, and how can you give it in such a way that people want to pay you great money and you feel like you're just doing what you would do anyway.
So that's this is secret. So tell them where to get, we'll have the links and everything, but tell them where to get the Soul Gift Quiz so that they can actually find out.
So soulgiftquiz.com, S-O-U-L giftquiz.com. And you might just want to open it right now, but you don't have to like take the quiz immediately, but like, you know, just so that you have it so you don't forget. Because that is really just the first step in this process I take people through for free with my information to identify first what's your soul gift and then what's your right role in the world and what's your true genius. What type of genius are you channeling? So I see it genius as something that we open to channel in the world. Mm-hmm. And so this whole intuitive awakening thing, while to many of us it feels like, wow, this is so weird, I actually see it as like the most natural process we can go through as we mature as human beings, where we finally relax, get out of the way, and get over ourselves, and then allow what moves through us naturally to come through. You know, like what usually happens when you're really relaxed and you're resourced and you're open, you know, like when you're in the shower and you have these great ideas, that's your genius moving through, in my opinion. And there's an art to identifying what kind of genius you're designed for, what type of gift that expresses as in the world. That's what the Soul Gift Quiz is about. And then knowing the simple ways to open this channel that you are and let yourself just be an instrument. Like you're designed to be, and stop working so dang hard.
Oh my gosh, for real. And what I love about this and what I love about the Soul Gift Quiz is that it's great whether you want to start your own business or not, because again, no, it's hard for us to notice and acknowledge our own gifts because we're in here all the time.
Right.
You know, we don't know that other people don't think the way we do. And you know, and like we said, the things that you're greatest at, you don't even notice as a thing practically.
Right.
So being able to say, it's a little bit like having a teacher go, hey, you have a real gift for perspective. You know, you might want to look into this visual art thing, or wow, you're really expressive. Have you thought about taking a theater class? Or, oh, you're really athletically gifted. You should try out for track. Like, this is how our lives got guided when we were children, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody just noticed something about us and said,
dude,
you should lean into that. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, oh, okay. And sometimes not. Sometimes we got told, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not right. You know, you can't make a living at that, which is a lie. You totally
right.
can.
You right. You totally can.
But it's also, amazing. But even for people who just want to feel more satisfaction in the jobs they have, to be able to say, oh my gosh, of course, I'm a transmitter. Maybe I should go to my you know, team or my supervisor, my manager, uh-huh. saying, hey, I'd love to have more speaking opportunities. I'd love to run the meeting. I'd love to,
This is what I do well. And what happens is too, when you finally acknowledge it, they go, oh, that's why. Yeah. It's not like a big shock to anybody. You know, you can identify, no, this is why I work like this. And this is why I don't like working like that. And yeah, I have a lot of people use this information to position themselves to get a raise and a promotion inside their company, just simply by identifying your own value. When you can identify your own value, your own gifts, your own genius, and say, no, I know I'm a genius in this. And this is, by the way, something that we women are usually behind on. Guys are usually more culturally trained to stand up and go, I rock at this, put me in the game. And we are generally more culturally conditioned to go, oh, I don't know, I'm fine. You know, I'm not that good.
No, yours is prettier.
You're better. Oh, no, let him do it. You know, what do you want to do? And so for us to actually step up and say, dude, you know that any meeting you put me in will go easier. And we don't even know why. But that is my gift as a transmitter. You put me in there. Or my gift as a messenger is I'm a translator between different kind of people. So put me in the meeting and everyone will understand each other. Or I'm a creator. So put me in the meeting and I'll come up with a better system to run that meeting next time and save us all a lot of time and money. Right. And so you really identify what's your value. And it helps everybody.
Yeah. And I think that's an important distinction because we are trained out of bragging and being prideful and tooting our own horn. And yes, that's true. You should not toot your own horn unless you are a horn player. Like, you know, a certain amount of modesty is appropriate.
But we're all in this orchestra.
We're all in this orchestra. And to be able
to just don't play loud enough, then the orchestra doesn't sound right.
Or like, oh no, I really, you know, my father was a piccolo player. I must be a piccolo player.
Exactly.
You know, even though my jam is really timpani.
You got it. You got it. Totally.
So speaking of this, my dad is, what messages did you get about job and work growing up?
I always got the message that I could do anything I wanted.
Lucky you.
No, super lucky me. And then I went to Stanford where you're hanging out with all these amazing, people, heads of state kids and like freaking all these genius kids. And so you figure, well, I guess we can just do anything, So that was the biggest thing that high-priced education gave me was just this permission of like, I can do anything, I guess, because everybody's always told me I can do anything. And then I went to college and they told me I'm the cream of the crop and I can do anything in the whole wide world. And so I think it would be great if everybody really got that because I think it's true for everybody, especially when we're aligned with our gifts. It's just everything just so much easier. Mm-hmm. So, and I grew up with a dad who's a judge. So I grew up in the courtroom, like sitting on his knee, literally, every time there was like a day off at school or sometimes I would just take off school to go be with my dad in the courtroom. So I grew up in that arena, watching this, my dad, who's a very fair-minded, very wise person, really channel, in my opinion, he was channeling his genius all day long. He would say the most brilliant things in court that the court reporter would get used to people coming up afterwards and asking for a copy of the transcription when it was complete, because he would just really like wax poetic. And I also just grew up in that system. So for me, going to law school was just like, well, I might as well. Like, I already know how to be a lawyer. So I'll go to law school. So it's legal for me to be a lawyer.
Right.
But that was one of those things. Like, I was just kind of following the channel of like, well, I mean, why wouldn't I be a lawyer? My dad's a judge. And what I want to do is start this improv theater. So I'll get do the lawyer thing for some money. And I ended up liking being a lawyer too. I liked the translation and communication of it. I'm a messenger on my own soul gift system. So with like a transmitter secondary, which means I'm also kind of magical, as you might imagine. So that kind of talking, communicating, that's my jam.
So I think that's so beautiful that you grew up in that environment. I grew up in a similar kind of world, a little different, but but much the same, certainly in terms of the expensive private school education, being right? surrounded by super high thinkers and really mm-hmm. interesting, challenging people who are up to really, really cool stuff all the time. So for those of you who did not grow up in that environment, let Melissa and I just tell you now, those people are out there. They're not that hard to find. They are waiting for you. Like if you are being surrounded by people who, the image in my mind is like those little fish that bite off the dead skin on your feet. Like people who, they don't mean to hurt you. They're just like taking little bites out of you all the time. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
Like, or if you're surrounded by people who aren't dreaming big or who aren't confident that the world needs their gifts and that you can do what you want to do and what you're mm-hmm. here to do, let Melissa and I be your moms right now and say,
yeah,
do it.
You can totally do it. I mean, it's amazing with the internet now. You can find a niche, like, you know, I'm so much into finding people, the entry niche for their client to find them or to utilize their business. And the more specific you get with that, the more magnetic you can be, because people are searching that niche on Google and it pops up and there you are and boom, they just call you. So the more specialized your business can be, the trick is to find the specialty that really fits your gifts, because you may find some fantastic specialty. You realize, oh, well, nobody's doing, you know, specialized sponges to clean houseplants. I should do that because nobody's doing it. Well, you're going to get so bored with it.
Doll clothes for alligators.
So the key is to find one that's like in alignment with what turns you on. Like what's the most passionate, intrinsic thing that you do, and then get really specific with a market need that's not being met yet. Now you've got a business that can both enrich and delight and, you know, fulfill you for the rest of your life, because it's made for you. It's literally just perfect for you.
And you've said two things that I think are super important and often misunderstood about starting a small business, because we get that feeling of like, well, who am I? Who do I think I am to do all this? Right. But like I said, if we're talking about what your gift is, what's right. valuable about you, and it's not what makes you more special than anybody else. We're all equally amounts of special.
You're all pretty awesome.
We're all pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So you just happen to show up with this particular version of special. And it's right. not how valuable it is to you. It's how valuable it is to someone else.
That's right.
To someone else who has a problem. So your business is all about solving someone else's problem mm-hmm. with something that comes really naturally and easily to you.
Yeah. And it comes so easily to you that you're usually completely blind to it. And
that's so what's the first step? What's a practical thing that people could go like, well, I don't know what my gifts are. How they can take this, your soul gift quiz.
My soul gift quiz is very helpful in this, you know, right.
it's but what else? What
a
else
big eye opener. And what else? Like, you know, you can ask your friends, what do I do that I should, you know, that you imagine people would pay for? Like, or it's tough because you're asking your friends to kind of be a business consultant and friends don't usually have that capacity. But you can also just kind of take stock, like, wow, what when friends call me up, what are they really looking for? Mm-hmm. Are they looking for somebody to make them feel better? Do they say, wow, I always feel so much better after talking to you? Are they looking for someone to kind of crack the whip on them? Are they looking for, you know, are they looking for to use your truck because you're the one who's got the truck and like to move the things and to go buy furniture?
No, because never have a truck.
That's nuts and bolts type of person. It's an exploratory journey. And so, you know, it's like, I have seen extremely smart people spend years trying to figure this out on their own. And, you know, I'm not just trying to sell you on my services. Go to me, go to Sam, go to somebody that you know is going to be able to guide you through this. Because the truth is, most of my clients have already been suffering with this, trying to do it on their own because they are so smart that they usually can do all the things on their own. And yet this is the one thing that we, for whatever reason, that most of us are blind to.
Yeah.
What am I really here for? It's when somebody finally guides you through the process and it's there, you're like, oh crap. Well, that was there all along. And you get the creepy crawlies up your spine. That's like, I know, you know. But
I wonder too, like, here's what I'm flashing on is the things that you like instantly volunteer for. or you wish someone would ask you, you know, like, oh, I've got to plan my 5-year-old's birthday party. And you're like, oh, let me do it.
Oh, I love planning the parties. Yeah.
You know, we're like, oh, yes, I've got to go find
this line for sure.
Right. Or like, oh, I've got to go find a dress for this event. I hate, let me go to the store with you. Let me go to the store with you. Let me shop, you know.
Yes. Right. You yes. know. That can sometimes be true. And sometimes the one thing that you do that is really the most valuable and special is also the thing that scares the pants off of you.
Talk about that for a second.
So, you know, I mean, the truth for me personally, it still scares me what I do. Like, I, you know, if I meet someone and they say, well, can you please look into my soul and reflect what I really am? I'm like, yes. Are you sure? Like, because it is powerful. Because the moment when you're doing that which really lights you up, it lights you up and you feel out of control at some level. Even though you're in your element and doing what you're designed for, you also feel like, whoa, there's a lot of power that courses through us when we are really doing what we're here to do. And so some of us who like to be in control, don't look at me, but like some of us who, especially if we're overeducated and type A and used to managing all the people and all the things all the time, codependent, for us to actually be willing to sit in that gift and let it pour through, that's another thing that sometimes takes a little hand holding. Takes kind of a mentor to go, you're okay. I mean, I lean on my mentors a lot. I'm like, okay, so now I'm going to meet with, yeah, every time I get a client who's like a famous person or a really, really rich person, I'm like, you know, with my mentors, like, is this going to be okay? At some level, I think they're, you know, the world is going to string me up from a tree for doing what I do. And I always thought that was just us intuitive people who had that fear. But I've learned it's also just all kinds of genius people who think, well, yeah, I do know how that new technological system of communication should be designed. But I don't think I can talk about that because people get upset. Like, and this is something that's imprinted, I think, from when we were kids. Where when our genius and our bigness came out, people are like, oh, shush, you know, seen, not heard. Children should be seen, not heard. And because it was just so much energy coming through a kid and the adults weren't making space for that kind of expression. And so, you know, no blame on anybody. But the truth is, I think from a young age, we are often accidentally taught to rein it in.
Yeah.
And when you find your true genius, nothing's getting reined in. It is being channeled for a purpose. It's being put to use. It's being kept relevant. It's being applied to business, to a situation, which is something as a kid you can't really do yet. But is it reined in? Is it controlled? Mm-mm, not really. The genius is what we serve.
And I love that idea of staying humble to your own gifts. That we're just the vessel for the work, you know?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Make me an instrument.
Me an instrument. I'm the hands and feet, you know, of the divine. And I do the work that's in front of me to do.
I'm gonna do my best. And that which pours through me is not my, it doesn't originate from my mind. It doesn't originate from, you know, you read all his quotes by Einstein and stuff, and he's saying it right there. You know, he's like, yeah, no, this stuff just pours on through. And a lot of the people that we really respect in the world, it's the same. Our greatest inventors, our greatest innovators, our greatest teachers are saying, my job is to be open and to focus on what I'm here to do, focus on my gifts. And the rest, whether it's in business or anything else, you know, when I started working with executives, first of all, my lawyer really liked that. The lawyer part of me was like, now I'm serious because I'm working with real business people. And I thought, but they're not gonna understand when I say intuition. And are you kidding me? like people who have been on the list of top 10 richest people in the world, guess what? Guess how they got there? You know?
Right.
You just call it their gut feeling, or I just know.
Yeah. So the other thing I'm hearing that I kind of want to underline for everybody is that it is not like you divine your soul gift, you figure out, you know, your purpose, you even uproot your life, move to the forest, you know, head straight, have a shamanistic journey, come back out in the world and say, okay, now I'm ready to make $1,000,000,000 off my soul gift. And it's all smooth sailing. Like, there continues to be discomfort. There continues to be questioning. There continues to be self-doubt. There continues to be just disaster after disaster. I mean,
sometimes
I started to write a
periods of that.
Mm-hmm. I started to write a blog post the other day that was like, congratulations, the merchant account has frozen your assets. Congratulations, your team member has quit on the day your retreat starts. Congratulations. You know, you've had some massive tech disaster. Like, that's how you know you're in business.
Right. It's true. And there's this invisible team that most business people completely ignore. But are the most important help that's driving your business. And well, we don't completely ignore. We're like, oh, I have a feeling I should do, but we don't like take a minute to actually open and go, okay, genius, you know, my genius, the source of my genius, I'm just opening to that right now. And I'm just going to imagine my invisible board of directors, and I'm going to make myself really receptive to serendipity, miracles, divine support. Hey, you guys, I love to just treat them like imaginary friends. And I recommend every business owner not ignore the tremendous invisible team that's trying to help them all day long, every day.
That's such good advice. And I think, again, even if you're in your regular job, even if you're not self-employed, like, absolutely. Go to that inner resource, however you want to think of it, your invisible board of directors, your fairy friends, your ancestors, the light that surrounds you, however you want to think of
it. Your wisdom, your own freaking wisdom, your own core of intelligence that is not influenced by all the people around you.
And I think using that to ask the question, what's most important for me to be focusing on right now? What do I need to be doing right now? Where does my focus need to be? Because the thing I hear, I'm sure you do too, from clients all day long is, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Forever, like every minute of the day is packed. How could I possibly get one more thing on the plate? And the answer is you don't. You do not get one more thing on the plate. In fact, you start to tune in and go, what's really important right now? It's like, oh, what's really important is that I show up for my son's softball game because I want to, because that matters to me. You know, not because I'm going for mom of the year, but because.
Right. Or one person's face shows up and you're like, oh, I really need to contact that person. And that's it. You make one phone call and that's the one phone call you needed to make. And that does all the other things. And you know, just being available for those messages. And I got to tell you, you know, I just have to admit, like, as much as I am in this mode every day working with people, I forget to do it. I forget. I like it. I'm like a hamster on a wheel. I'm like, oh, I'm building this and doing that. And I got to talk to this people. And then sometimes, you know, embarrassingly and righteously, it's one of my clients who goes, well, maybe you just need to take a little. I'm like, oh, you're right. Oh my God, it's my client reminding me that I need to tune into that. And so we all need that, you know?
Well, this is another thing too, that this, because I think another thing that holds people back is this feeling of like, well, I'm not an expert. You know, I don't really know, you know, and my answer to that, the way I had to chew on that for a really long time. And what I finally got to was, expert's not a word that I need to apply to myself. Other people may use it about me or not. That's their choice. If it helps them be clear, fine. But I know what I know. I know what I know. It's like in the kitchen. I don't know how to cook everything, but I know how to cook what I know how to cook.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So people are just coming to you for what you know how to do. You don't need to know everything, and you don't need to be. And part of the reason you do the work that's your soul's gift to do is so that you get better at it.
That's right.
You know, we're teaching and learning at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you do need to be a few steps ahead of whoever you're teaching to be in integrity with how you're teaching. But if you're so far down the road ahead of them, then they're going to feel awkward working with you because you're so far down the road. You don't even remember where they are. You don't remember what it feels like to struggle with this stuff. And so this is especially, again, true in terms of personal service, which both you and I are kind of in that personal service realm. But honestly, even if you've got a brick and mortar business of some kind, you know, you don't have to be some off the charts expert in whatever it is that you're bringing to the world. It's more fun for your clients to feel like they're on the discovery with you and you've got tips to share that are just ahead of them on that journey. So if you've got a shop that's selling, you know, imported clothes from Bali or something, you don't have to be like the world's leading expert in Bali clothes. You just need to be excited about this new shipment of pants that we just got in that's made from bamboo and here's how, and bamboo can save the world and isn't it fun? So that there's connection there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. That sensation of like, yeah, you don't need to know everything about everything, but you know, I can help you get from 10 paces behind me to where I am. I can show you that. I can give you help and support with that.
That's right.
And that's the only way we need to think of it. Yeah. This is so super valuable. Is there anything, what surprised you most when you started your own business? Was there anything that you were like, I did not expect this?
I think along the way, what has surprised me over and over again is that there really are lots of freaky people out there who are interested in the precise things that I'm interested in. I'm always tempted to tone it down or to make it more palatable or to hedge my words. And guess what? Like, you don't have to. You can be exactly where you are and just completely vulnerably ta-da. And there will still be kajillions of people who resonate with you right there.
Mm-hmm.
There will also be kajillions of people who don't, and who cares? How many customers do you need? You know, it's 2 kajillion may be enough. You don't need the other 17 bajillions. I'm working in kajillions and bazillions today.
Yeah.
So those are the rubrics. Those are the matrices that I'm using at this time.
I think these things do get measured, and I usually say grillions.
Grillions is nice.
Grillions.
It's like, that reminds me of grilled onions, like on a hamburger.
It reminds me of Grunion, the Grunion run.
Oh yeah, Grunions, yeah. So you can tell Sam and I are both creative mind types because we're off and running.
And this is the other thing that I want to point out that you haven't said, because it's so much, I think, in your genius, but I want to point out for everybody else, is you starting this new business as a, you know, Silicon Valley's favorite soul intuitive, did not mean that you... Part of what you bring to your life and to your success is everything you've done before. It is your life as a mom. It is your daughter of a judge. It is your Stanford education. It is your improv background. Like, it's not like, oh, I've cut all, like, oh, all that was for nothing.
Mm-mm.
Or, oh, I wasted all that time. Mm-mm. It's like, no, it's all fueling.
Oh yeah.
All these skill sets that become complementary once you're doing your own thing.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun because as a guide, I get to work, you know, I'll do like a 4-hour VIP session with someone where we just create their entire business plan. And one of the most fun things about doing that is going through with them and seeing, so see, that's why you did this. And see, that's why you did that. And that's why you had to go to this school. And that's why you had to go through this divorce. And that's why you had, and they're just like, oh my gosh, it's so perfect. And that moment of realizing that everything that's happened to you up until this point has literally been preparing you for exactly this integration, this weaving of all your interests and your background and your all the things, how it comes together. It's like we laugh about this in the sessions because we're like, ah, who would have thunk it, you know? Nothing is wasted. There is no experience. I mean, there may be something that happens to you that you're just like, I still don't know what the heck that one, but 90% of this stuff, you get to the point when you identify what you're really here for, you're like, well, no wonder. You know, I remember when I had my big switcheroo thing at Clarice's birth, just thinking, I was so mad at God. I was stomping around. I'm like, so then what the heck? Why was I running Catholic retreats since I was 15? Why'd you have me go to law school if you were just going to snake it away? Why did we spend all that money on a Stanford education when I'm just going to be some kind of woo-woo weirdo intuitive psychic-y lady? Why did, you know, and so I threw such a fit. And it really wasn't until I went through my next round around the year 2012, 2011, when I stepped onto this path where I'm helping people integrate these two worlds, where I was like, oh, well, I'll be darned. Sure is helpful now that I've got that Stanford thing and that lawyer thing, because frankly, executives, if you tell them you went to Stanford and you're a lawyer, they can go, okay, she's not crazy, which is ironic.
Little do they know.
But whatever works, you know, and the truth is, yeah, I was trained to think analytically. I'm trained in business. I'm trained in all these things. And how could I have known? You know, at that point, I didn't see ahead yet when everything would come together. And so, yeah, some of you maybe aren't at a place yet where it's time for everything to come together. But I bet you if you're drawn to Sam and you're here watching this, you probably are at the place where it's time. It is time to pull everything together. And you've got these, that's why we're here, is to just provide you the resources and the choices of how you can do that. How can I step away from this box that I've always lived in, live more creatively, create something, whether at first it's a side business so that you're not, you know, getting rid of your entire salary immediately. You know, I know you too, Sam, we work with people who, you know, it's not just like, oh, quit your job, dive into the unknown, create something from nothing. It's like, that sounds violent. No, usually it's a side business. You create a little side business, you let it grow, you see if you like it. No, not this one. Then you try a different one, you let that one grow. But if you have some real help, then you can just start the right one from the beginning and have a strategy as to how that's going to grow and how you're going to kind of taper off the job you're not so into anymore and grow into your...
Yeah, for sure. Get a good mentor, get a good coach. I've spent more on coaches than I spent on my Northwestern education. And yeah. Worth every dime.
You've got to have somebody who's
done it before, whom you trust and respect.
And it's so different than just buying like a self-study thing or just getting free stuff off the internet. Like you could get free stuff off the internet all day long, but you have no idea. What are you applying it to? That's the primary question. If you know what you're doing, then you can learn to do Facebook ads and learn to do, but you can't build a business just from learning how to make a Facebook ad. You have to know what you're here for so that you know what you're making stuff about.
So I have another question for you before I let you go, because I hear this a lot and it always confuses me a little bit. Mm-hmm. People feel like, so I have this, what feels like a God-given gift. You know, I have this God-given talent. It's intuitive, it's spiritual, it's a healing thing, it's a whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel weird charging for it. Because it's a spiritual thing.
Right.
It's a God thing.
Right. Well, I often just say, well, how's that working for you? Look, you know, here's the thing. If people aren't showing up wanting to pay you for your thing, it's because you haven't made it a value in the real world yet. And this makes me very unpopular with many of the woo people. Because the woo people are like, I'm just here to give my gift and I'm a sound healer and I'm just going to walk around banging this gong and I'm going to help people heal. And you know what? Nobody's asking you to bang a gong. Like nobody's like walking around on the streets. I guarantee you, even in the woo town that I live in now, Nevada City, nobody's walking around going, man, I need a gong banged right now. I freaking can't wait. I got $500 in my pocket and I'm just going to pay the first person who bangs a gong. Sorry. You have to strategize even your spiritual business, your spiritual gifts, if they are not relevant to helping real people with real problems and you're not promising real results in the real world, why would anyone pay you? Much less, and maybe that's where your discomfort comes from, because guess what? We don't want to pay you. And somewhere in there, you know that. You're like, oh, I just want to channel messages from the divine angelic realms. And it's like, well, feel free. But unless you're channeling divine messages from the angelic realms in a way that can help people make a change in their lives, and you're promising them that, and you're clear about that, and you're structuring things to help that person, then yeah, don't bother charging because nobody's going to pay. On the other hand, I've been paid, you know, $5,000 an hour to basically channel information from the angelic realms. Why? Because those angelic realm, if that's what you want to call it, I usually call it genius, knows where the next upcoming market trend is going.
Mm-hmm.
Knows what the soul of your company should be bringing to the world so that it can profit easily and have a big purpose. These things are valuable in the real world. So of course people want to pay for that. They'll pay a lot of money. Why? Because it solves a big problem, because it's really, truly valuable.
And it saves them a ton of time. They don't spend so much time chasing rabbits or going down blind alleys. Money. Or
sometimes it saves the company. If they're making the right, if they're focusing on the wrong product development, guess what? In this climate, you have to stay so on top of where things are trending and where human development is moving. And so, you know, different strokes for different folks. I honor people. I've got plenty of really good friends who are really happy to be doing their spiritual sacred things for no money. And I'm like, well, that's great. That's a hobby.
Right.
When they then get resentful towards me or towards people who aren't paying them, towards me for making a lot of money or for towards other people who aren't paying them, I'm like, what are you judging in yourself right there? Are you judging? Are you actually judging the part of you that knows that you could be doing something even more relevant and more valuable in the world and allowing yourself to be paid so that you can focus all your intention and time on this sacred work instead of running around trying to get odd jobs to fill your time?
So there's three things here that I'm hearing that I think are super duper important. I had to close the window because the leaf blower started.
Oh, the leaf blowers.
Yeah. So one is, I heard sort of an underlying assumption that like, God doesn't care what you charge for. like there's not a
made money.
Huh?
Like, who do you think made money? If you're a God kind of person, you believe in a creator God, then here we are living in the world. And in this world, value is measured with money in this particular culture right now.
Right.
Now, in the past, we didn't have currency. We haven't always had currency. But even then, if somebody did something, if somebody healed your daughter of a dread disease, do you think you'd at least give them a chicken?
Right. Pour some oil on their feet, something.
You know, you'd probably, because that's our nature.
Right.
Right. There's now, money is just the currency we use. No big deal.
So there's not, so it's possible that money is a spiritual expression. Right? That there's a sacred exchange of energy, and part of where we, how we delineate what that exchange is with a thing called money.
It's interesting. When you say it's a spiritual expression, I say, well, no, it's a worldly expression of value. It's a worldly expression of value, but I also don't see this world as something separate from spirit.
Yeah.
I just see it kind of like a, you know, I see us as these channels where there's spiritual information comes in, but it's not really relevant or useful until it begins to come down into us where we make it relevant. And then it expresses through us as real impact in the real world. So where is money? Money's down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money's not, when a great idea arrives for you, how much is a great idea worth, Sam?
Not much until you do something with it.
Right. Exactly. And so I, you know, you can have fantastic ideas. It doesn't mean I'm going to pay you to have fantastic ideas unless those fantastic ideas create something real in the real world, at which time I give you money. So I think there's just a, you know, that whole thing, it actually, can you tell it like gets a little bee in my bonnet? I get feisty about it because I'm like, well, that's that lie right there, that we shouldn't charge for spiritual things, is what's keeping all this tremendous spiritual power from being allowed to come into the real world. Because we stop it right here and we go, well, I can't charge money. And then it's like, boink, boink. It's like trying to come through as a real creation. And we're like, no, 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 you're not a real creation. You're spiritual. I'm like, well, that's...
Right. A very annoying self-imposed limitation.
And no likey. Not just for a personal level, but for the, you know, the evolution of humankind. I think it's just a really damaging position to take.
I also have a thing that I say all the time, which is you are getting paid in the currency you're asking for. So it may be that the currency you're asking for is a big hug or to be appreciated or Facebook likes or.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Or in some ways for me, sometimes it was to be underappreciated. Like there was a time in my life when my self-esteem was so rock bottom.
Right.
It kind of felt okay to me to work really hard.
Right.
And be kind of unrecognized and unrewarded.
Yeah, it's more comfortable because then you got something to complain about. Oh, I've been there. Then you can complain about it all day long and rich people are bad and mean and horrible. And it's just us poor starving artists who are the ones with real heart and have that. It's like, oh, okay. Well,
and I'm so good at being broke. Look at how good I am at being broke.
I'm so good at it. I can make mac and cheese without milk or butter.
I can feed a family of six on 37 cents worth of rice and beans, and it's delicious.
I just think it's offensive to people who are genuinely impoverished. There are a lot of terrifically gifted, amazingly attuned in, plugged in people who, because of our society right now, are living in poverty. And that sucks. That really, really sucks. And part of what I want to see happening in our world is that more people are downloading their true genius into real workable systems that help those real people. You know, my favorite thing about making money is giving money away. Because there are just too many places right now where our resources need to be flowing. And so I think it's really weird when a spiritually enlightened person says they don't want money. I'm like, well, how are you going to support us here in the real world then? How are you going to give money away to the people that you know need it? How do you think wealth gets redistributed? Not by people who never have any money. You're completely powerless in the system then.
Well, you that's know, it, that thing of like,
on the streets, but that's only if you can take, if you can afford to take off work.
Right, and the same like, oh, I don't want to make money. I just want to help people. Well, you have a hard time helping people if you don't have any money. Like, first, you can't help yourself. You can't lead a financially sustainable life in which you are healthy, strong, rested, fed, nourished.
There's exceptions to every rule. So I don't mean to lay down some kind of new law or whatever, but I do feel like this, it's an insidious belief that I believe is false. And I really want to see more spiritually gifted people showing up in the real world with their gifts intact and being empowered and enriched by focusing there. Because it is relevant and it is marketable, and you just need to strategize so that you can find the way to bring it to the world so that it can be valued as valuable as it is. Stop hiding, you know?
Stop hiding.
We need you out here. We need you in the world. All your underground, invisible psychiciness, all of your deep intuitive knowingness, all of your extrasensory perception, all of your long distance healing ability, all of your deep attunement with what is divine, what means the most, what really matters. We need that here in the real world of real business with real people solving real problems. And we need it now.
Mic drop.
Just like that.
Boom.
With my tea.
With your tea. Melissa, thank you so much for being here and sharing your insight and your wisdom and your humor and your beautiful self. I love you so much.
I love you too, Sam. Thank you. And thanks for sharing me with your humans. And thanks everybody for listening. And you know, if you go check out the Soul Gift Quiz, soulgiftquiz.com.
Soulgiftquiz.com.
You'll be in touch with me and you can reach out to me on email or, you know, whatever. If you have questions, I'm here for you, as I know Sam and all these fantastic folks she tends to draw are. So thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you so much, everybody. If you've enjoyed this, but your time is limited and you'd like access to the rest of them, please hop over to therealsambennett.com/freedom. That's therealsambennett.com/freedom. And there you can opt in, get access to all these recordings and a bunch of fun freebies. We'd love to see you there. In the meantime, remember, the world needs your good work. Thanks, everybody.